Hello and welcome to the Lynx Gaming Podcast. I am Joel Loynes and I welcome you to the second episode. Joining me again is Ollie Saville.
Hello.
And Jacob Dickens.
How you doing?
This week we haven't really been playing a whole bunch since last week. So we're just going to see where the hour takes us.
Absolutely.
If it even goes on for an hour, I don't know. First of all, how we want to start is, if you've been keeping up with gaming news and whatever, you might have seen a trailer for a game called Hatred. Have you seen the trailer?
I've not seen the trailer. I've heard all the buzz around it's running the Unreal Engine.
It's running on Unreal 4, and Epic have distanced themselves from the game.
They don't have anything to do with it.
Mostly because they used it. They used like the logo to advertise, and advertising it without any permission, which is you can't do that.
It's a bit of a no-no.
Jacob, have you seen the trailer?
I've seen bits and pieces of the trailer, a bit cut up. But I've seen enough of it to kind of know what's going on with it.
So I watched it all the way through, and I'll say this now: it is the first trailer to make me feel ill, like kind of go in disgust. You know, like in disgust, like this doesn't sit right. In my head.
It definitely makes you feel uncomfortable, because it's...
So, is that what it's trying to do, or...?
Kind of, and at the same time, not. It's really weird what they're trying to do. So, I recommend that no one actually go see the trailer, because even though we're talking about it now, the best way to get rid of this is to not talk about it. Yeah. Like, I'm all for, you know, freedom of expression and whatever, but this is basically a genocide simulator. Mm. It's a top-down...
Right.
Well, it's a top-down isometric shooter.
That's all you've seen right now, but I doubt it's going to be much different than what's already shown.
Yeah, it seems quite simple. A guy on Twitter that I follow, Matt Jones, he wrote about it. He said, like, there's no problem with ultraviolence. Mm. But I have no problem with ultraviolence. I love, you know, Tarantino movies and whatever.
Mortal Kombat's one of my
favorite
franchises.
Mortal Kombat, yeah. Like, and it, like, the difference between this and Mortal Kombat is that, and like GTA and whatever, you know, stuff like that, is that it's trying to generate controversy to sell units, is what I'm getting from it.
Just controversy for the sake of being controversial.
Yeah.
See, like, we discussed this earlier, and the first thing that sprang to mind for me was I was thinking, well, GTA games, you can do this sort of thing already. It shouldn't be that much of an issue. But from when you elaborate on it further, from the things you're hearing, it's... Yes, you can do these things in GTA.
But you're also penalised for killing civilians.
Yeah, you can go off on your own and do what you want, whereas this seems to be directly encouraging those things.
So the trailer starts with very gruff, poor voice going, I just hate the world. And he does a swear, and it's like, ooh, this is very 90s.
Ooh, so adult.
And then he just kills a bunch of people. But, like, so... People have been comparing it to, like, the controversy of Mortal Kombat and GTA, but, like, that came after the fact. This is before. And, like, some games now generate controversy beforehand, you know, with what they're doing, like Tomb Raider and how the... But it's most likely to do with how people describe the game and, you know, like, the events that happen in it and stuff. With Hatred, the game I'd compare it most to is... Have you ever played Postal?
No, but no. I've definitely heard things
so
about
Postal
it.
So Postal is a game that allows you, it'll penalise you for killing, you know, just randomers and stuff like that, but for the most part, you are just killing everybody in sight.
I've heard you can pee on people.
But that's the thing. Postal has a comedic subtext, you know, that's got the context around it, you know.
Yeah.
It's a comedy game, it's not meant to be taken seriously in any way. This seems to be, they say, on their website, they say, don't take it too seriously, it's just a game.
But
with a little smiley face. And the thing is that the trailer seems to take itself so seriously.
I was going to say, the tone of the trailer in itself just kind of sets this...
It's so grim. Yeah.
It's all black and white, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's so dark, and that's not comedic sort of thing. That's not set in that sort of...
Like, there's no... You're killing civilians and police officers. They haven't done anything wrong to you except for exist. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And then also it came out, like, on what the CEO's Facebook page is, that he likes a far-right Polish political group, which I won't go into now. But what we what I did do Friday is send them an email.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. So I sent them an email, and I got one back from the CEO, and he said, "Hey, yeah, sure, send you over your questions, you know." And then I emailed over my questions, and I got an automatic response back with, you know, it had some things like we're very busy and whatever, and you know, it's a weekend, so obviously he doesn't want his emails coming through.
Fair enough, yeah.
And he was getting a heck load through and all this sort of stuff. But then I emailed before we came out, before I came out to here, and I got another automatic response back. And they quote postal in one of the pre-question things, which is something to do with racism, because, you know, obviously, like, people are now questioning, like, is this built on bigoted and racist behaviours, you know, mentalities. And they said to quote the postal dude, don't hate particular people, something, you know, along these lines, like, don't hate particular people, don't do racism, just kill everybody, basically. So basically we're going to just read off live. I've not read these questions through, so we got our first email from the hatred CEO.
Could get some controversy.
So I asked, your game Hatred is ultra violence without any kind of subtext or wrapper around it. Do you not find this a little grim to work on? Well, when you can see the game every day and you're creating from scratch and all the horrible scenes, you don't see the whole picture of it. You're just noticing every little issue that needs to be fixed. And actually working on this crazy title is pretty fun.
Okay.
He's covered his tracks there, I suppose.
We'll leave some of these out. We'll see what...
it's a little bit edgy.
Yeah.
It's quite fun doing that sort of thing, apparently. I don't know.
So like we said, Unreal have
they don't want
anything to do with it. So I asked, how did it feel for Epic Games to distance themselves from you? Another news on the web and more attention to Hatred. Anyway, they don't really have had a problem with the controversy of our game. It's just that we didn't ask for the kind of license and the UE4 logos. I mean, they've already got the license because you pay a subscription to it now, and then once you reach a certain amount of money made, they have to get. Anyway. You can read the rest of that because I've just seen some of the questions and they seem to go on.
Yeah.
Like, so you can read probably the interview that will probably go up maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So
plug the Lynx website now. Get an interview up there.
Yeah. Well, so it'll probably be on the same place you're probably listening to this now, which is thelink.co.uk. Ollie and Jacob, you've been playing the Pokemon.
Oh yeah.
Alpha Sapphire and
Omega Ruby.
Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
Right.
I'm on track. How is that? Is that just more Pokemon?
It's an absolute nostalgia fest. That's the only way to describe it.
I have not been kicked in the nostalgia so hard in a very long time.
So I have never played Gen 3. It wasn't my thing. The most contact I had with Gen 3 was Pokemon Colosseum.
Oh yeah, no, I like that. Colosseum.
So I never played it on GBA or anything like that.
Okay.
What does the demo entail? Like, what do you do?
Well, it just drops you in Moss Deep City, which is, it's not one of the earlier cities in Gen 3.
It's got the 7th gym in it.
Yes, so 7th gym, although you don't actually go against any gym leads or anything. You can just roam, because it's an island, you can roam the entire island, talk to people. All the houses are locked, so they're not giving you... access to that much, but then
so you can't just barge in. And
no,
press
no.
A on everything. You kind of walk around the island itself, but not really go in any.
So it's
buildings.
Pretty limited in what you can.
Yeah, then
do.
It's a set this, path sort of demo.
Yeah,
like.
There'll be Stephen Stone, who's the champion. He'll be there, and he'll take you off to another island, flying on.
So it's basically just to give you like a little peek. Like, here's how everything's going to look in battles, which I'm assuming look a lot like X and Y.
Yeah.
Except for the backgrounds, I'm going to guess they've...
From the looks of things, it's not the biggest tree, but I think graphically it's been refined.
The UI looks a little bit different as well. The interface is a little bit... It's been rehauled a tiny bit. Not loads, but...
There doesn't seem to be any new move animations or anything like that.
No, but it's finally we get to see most of the Gen 3 Pokemon.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, that just haven't been really available.
Yeah. You also get a glimpse of the new flying mechanic with Latias and Latias. You don't actually get to control it, but there's footage of it with Steven controlling it while he takes you to the island.
It's not kind of nondescript flying animal that you're flying on.
So these remakes are introducing flying to the game, like, properly. Yeah. Like, you'll be able to hop aboard. It's Mega Latias and Latias.
Yeah, so far it's just those that have been confirmed. I don't know if you're going to be able to do it on anything that can learn the HM, or if it's just going to be limited to those two.
Well, it's going to end up like a Go-Go in X and Y. Yeah. Everyone thought you could ride Pokemon, and it really ended. It turned out to be that.
So, does anything you do in this carry on over to the full game?
Yes. Well, right at the end of the little story path in the demo, they'll be saying there's a Mega Evolving Pokemon at the end that you'll be looking for, and you'll battle
Both Team Magma and Aqua.
Magma and Aqua, yeah. You'll get to pick a starter, and then you'll get the Mega Stone for the new Mega Evolutions of the third gen starters, and you can try them out. And then you'll get to the end, and there'll be a patch of grass, and we both went into it, and there was a Glalie in there.
Yeah, it's both.
There seems to be two. They're both holding their Mega Stone, so there'll be Mega Glalie and Mega Steelix, which seem to be region locked. It seems to be Europe that's getting Mega Glalie, and I think Japan got Glalie as well, or it may have been Korea.
Okay, right.
But
America?
America hasn't been released yet. Speculation there may be a new one going for the American one, but I think whichever one didn't get Glalie, Japan or Korea, that was getting Mega Steelix. And once you catch that, you can't transfer your starter over, but it gives you the option to transfer what you've just caught over to the main game. I think once you reach a certain point, it's level 40, so I doubt you'll have it from the start.
It's like that Torchic that we got at the start of X and Y. It leveled up so quickly that at some point it's either unusable or... Unless I can't remember, because I kind of leveled that up pretty well, so I never saw, like, it won't pay attention to you.
Yeah, well, it goes along with the badges, doesn't it? So
yeah, I didn't realise that stuff transferred over from the demo.
Yeah,
so I was kind of just taking the mic when I caught that Glalie, and I ended up calling it "Whoa, this game," because I was so, like, I was so enamoured with the demo. I was just like, "Oh, this game's awesome," and I just ended up calling my Glalie.
Let's just hope they let you rename.
So
rename the nickname.
Yeah.
No, that sounds like similar situation. It's how long's the demo? Like, is it?
It's not that long.
Probably about half an hour if you explore.
Yeah, you can blast through it pretty easy.
You can replay it multiple times, and each time you'll get taken to a new.
Does it not have that weird Nintendo limit on demos where it says 30 tries?
It actually seems to reward you for the amount of times you play it through. So basically, you won't start the whole demo again. You'll keep the things you had before, but again, you can go back. It takes you back to Moss Deep City, then you can go and talk to Steven. Each time he'll take you to a new island. It won't be anywhere from the map, it'll just be a small island, and there'll be a few trainers on that. And then you can battle those trainers, and then once you've beaten them, that counts as another playthrough. And then there seems to be incentives, so, like, I think it's complete the demo 3 times, you'll get some extra Pokeballs transferred to the main game. I think it goes up to 10 times when you start getting...
Yeah.
Max potions and things like that.
So it's just basically to help you along. Because they... wasn't Nintendo directly, but it was Square Enix with Bravely Default.
Oh, right.
Did you play that? So they put out a demo beforehand, and the demo was pretty hefty. It was like... If you took your time, it could take about 5 to 6 hours to finish the demo. They used a location from the game and then put a bunch of demo only quests that fit in.
Okay.
But stuff like carried over, so like helped you build like the little city that you could do and items and stuff like that. I like that kind of thing where it's just like Nintendo seems to be one of the only ones at the minute that are really taking advantage of making people excited for a demo.
Yeah, but because there's definitely been a lot of, I'm not going to say hysteria, but there's people who can't get hold of download codes that are doing anything they can to get them.
It wasn't released through your regular demo means.
Yeah, you have to go to... So in the UK, you have to go to Game or... I'm going to guess another place, other locations might have it if they've got those weird Nintendo kiosks in them.
You have to. Seems to be the only game that they've advertised. Just go to Game Access, the Nintendo Zone, and then you'll get a code, and then you can go home to your own Wi-Fi
and download it. That seems to be as cool as that is. Like, oh no, you actually have to go out and get the demo. You'd think Nintendo would want everyone to have access to this demo.
It seems to be a Pokemon thing though, because they'll sometimes distribute Pokemon that way. I mean, there's that's the way
they've been doing that for ages.
Mega Gengar at the minute, isn't
and Diancie as well has finally been revealed.
They did that event sort of stuff all the way back with like Mew and that, didn't they?
They don't seem to want to.
Pokemon always has this kind of mystical aspect about it. Like,
it's really cool.
It's really cool because you actually have to go interact with another human being.
It's not just DLC. It's not just something you can click on and then you've got it.
It's like, no, you got to pay attention to the game. Like, I'm now really hunting for my cartridge of X and Y, which I know where it is, but I can't remember which drawer I put it in. And I don't know whether it's still at home. But I really want that Mega Gengar because
he's
a shiny Mega Gengar. And then I can breed Ghastlys and just send those out over the the Wonder Trade, which is always good fun. You send over an audition, you get a fully leveled Greninja.
See, the one thing I don't like about maybe a different Pokemon topic here, but I'm not a fan of the mass distributed shinies. It's not something I've enjoyed because you get the people that get shinies by luck and it's the most exciting thing ever. Your first shiny, I remember catching a tentacle in Gen 2 and it was purple and I lost it.
But then you've got the people that breed for shinies or blue tack down their D-pads and put weird computer stuff into
them. Well, whichever way you've got them, it's kind of a sense of achievement for getting that.
It kind of ruins it, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, so they're doing it with Gengar, they're doing it with Beldum as well, so everyone's going to get
the
silver Metagross.
It'd be more interesting if like they put out like really rare Pokemon that, you know, like, hey, this is a shiny Celebi to celebrate 1 year of X and Y.
Yeah.
And that'd be cool because like Celebi is near impossible to get hold of through normal means.
No one's going
to
have it anyway.
If everyone's got it, then I can understand. But if they had like put something in like the mystery gift where it's like 1 in 100 will be a shiny Celebi, and then it's like
people that have already got shiny Gengars and shiny Metagrosses, and they'll be really excited and proud of them, and suddenly say they go online and do some battle, and everyone's going to be using them. Like, I can't show this off anymore.
No, it kind of ruins what we just said. Like, it ruins the mystical aspect of Pokemon. Like, so is there anything else about Pokemon? Other than they leaked a bunch of stuff last week, was it confirmed? Like the Mega Pidgeot?
No, that's well, Pidgeot and Beedrill were confirmed. There was a lot of other things leaked, which I think Nintendo have gone out and said are not official.
But they would say that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, so we don't know. But there has been code uncovered from the demo, which is it contains the code for every Mega that's already been revealed, as well as Mega Hooper. Now, Hooper hasn't even been announced officially already. That was found by going into the code of X and Y. It's still yet to be announced, but it's going to get a Mega in a Mega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. But interestingly, that's the only Mega in the code of the demo that hasn't been announced.
Yeah.
Everything else is in there, so that's making speculation. Have we got the entire list already? Is it just Hooper left to be announced? Mm. Why is the rest in there if it's not used in the demo?
You'd think at this point, because most of the Pokemon we already know. And I mean, it's, you know, it's to generate excitement and stuff like that. But it's like when it's like at the minute Nintendo trying putting up like on the Smash Brothers website, like the secret fighters, and they're putting them under spoilers, but everyone already knows who Duck Hunt and everything like that is. It's so obvious at this point. It kind of reminds me of like when people announce like fighting game rosters, and they lock stuff off. It's just like, no, give me access to all of it. Like, I know why Smash Brothers does it; it keeps you playing. It's exciting to unlock Rob and whatever, but, you know.
Well, Mortal Kombat X has been doing that. Yeah. But I think a lot of that is because...
But most of that stuff is new.
Half of the roster's returning characters, half of it's new stuff. So you kind of want to see if your favourite guy has made it back.
Also, you want to see what they look like in this new HD, yeah. you know, this new look and everything like that. It's exciting to see that you know, I don't mind when they like announce them like bit by bit.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see, you know, once we're coming close to launch date or when after it's launched, just go, this is everything. Whatever. Just if you want to spoil it for yourself, here's everything.
Yeah.
Don't hide it. Have you been playing anything else?
Well, as I said last week, I just bought the definitive edition of Sleeping Dogs, which I've been playing now.
How's that look?
It looks very good, but then again, playing on PC, the originals still look good as well, using the HD texture pack. There's probably a slight improvement.
I think you said last week, before the show last week, that there's more people, more populated cities and stuff like that.
There's nowhere near as drastic an improvement as on the console versions. But there's still improvements. The lighting is quite a significant improvement in the graphics. But yeah, in terms of faces and everything like that,
it already looked stunning.
Yeah,
last time. Is it still just as fun to play?
Oh, it's
leaping
still
out of cars
so fun
and
to
stuff
play.
Like that. throwing someone's head into
again,
a
like
fan.
Like I said, not done a lot of the story, just like last time, because as soon as you get the ability to free roam, you just want to run around.
That's
always
the worst
in the
thing.
Face.
Yeah. So, Jacob, have you been? You said you would be playing Disney Infinity.
Disney Infinity 2. Yeah, I've had it for a while, and I didn't play the initial Disney Infinity, so I don't really know if me not liking it as much as I thought I would is a bad thing, because it's still way too much Disney for me, and not enough Marvel. But maybe I should have kind of expected that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, so, I watch quite a bit of, as anyone who knows me, I watch quite a bit of Giant Bomb.
Oh, yeah.
They constantly get John Vignocchi in, who's the, I think he's just lead PR, or what's he's lead something on that team. And he constantly gets hassled for Tron figures, and so it's just like I like seeing, like, because you know with Skylanders it's whatever they just bring out, you know, it's all fiction, you know, even though it's all fictional anyway, you know, it's all made up on the spot. It's like when they announce a new Pokemon, you can't really request a Pokemon to be with Disney Infinity. It's cool to see like people request, like, oh yeah, can I get a Tron figure? Or
Tron's like the one Disney thing that I'd be like really hyped for.
Yeah, and now that they own LucasArts or Lucasfilms in their entirety, you can guarantee next year Star Wars figures on the way.
As soon as I saw Marvel superheroes being Disney Infinity 2, I was like, you can bet 3 is going to be Star Wars if they do a 3.
Yeah, well, it probably will, because this thing is selling like hotcakes.
It's a cash cow, because you've got to buy the game, you've got to buy the figures. You're never done buying everything.
I was going to say, I don't actually have that many figures, because I can't justify spending like 15 quid on one figure.
Yeah, this is the same with, I think we were discussing the Amiibos last week, weren't we?
Yeah.
It's just the same thing, where it's like, I'm going to buy a Captain Falcon figure, because it looks real cool, like I want Captain Falcon, and then stare at him lustfully and go, yeah, I'll show you my moves.
Oh, God. So I've been kind of stuck with the main three that you get bundled in with the game.
Yeah.
Black Widow, Thor, and Iron Man. And also got...
Most boring of the lot.
I also got Hawkeye as well, because Hawkeye is my favourite Avenger, so if I had to get an extra one, I'm going to get that one. But some characters are definitely way better than others. I kind of have an issue with that. Like, Hawkeye... I know he's not that popular, okay? I know I'm probably the only guy that actually cares about...
Hawkeye's cool.
He's cool to some people, but, you know, people are just like, what if he runs out of arrows?
Well,
what happens then?
He doesn't have any powers. That's
yeah, but that's
what puts some people off.
That's what draws me to Hawkeye, because if
he's
you
just
can
a normal
hang,
dude.
If you can hang with, like, a god and a super soldier and be considered equal in that group of people, and you're
is
just
he
normal.
Equal, though? Is,
yeah, he's is an he? Avenger. Eventually. But yeah, anyway, getting back to Disney Infinity, Hawkeye is obviously not as good as Thor in the game and stuff like that. The character imbalances are,
you'd wish it was
a problem
more
for me.
So like, because it, whatever I've seen of that game, because I've never actually sat down to play it, but whatever I've seen, it just looks like a big open space for kids to kind of fumble the way through, like a Lego game or something like that, and then you mash on the button and you beat things up and you do a thing.
Yeah, the pre-made levels that they've made for it through the playset stuff, that's all pretty alright. You get several missions from different NPCs around this kind of big area. I've kind of dabbled in the creation elements of it. I don't think people are using it to its full potential yet.
No.
Mainly probably because it's a kids game. Maybe kids don't know how to use that sort of stuff. But, yeah, so...
Yeah.
Nice to meet children. I have no idea how in-depth you could get on Viva Pinata.
Oh, God.
I got that for the PC in Morrison's for £2. Viva Pinata.
Yeah.
I installed it and went, I have not done enough of a marijuana to enjoy this game, I don't think. Yeah, so, like, Disney Infinity just...
Yeah, I mean,
it's just kind of...
Don't get me wrong, it sounds like I don't like it. I really do like it.
It's just that it's too Disney and not...
It's too Disney. If they did, like, an... really stripped back, because it's obviously targeted at kids. And I think... I go back to the playsets thing. Like, I have the Avengers one that comes with the game. You can only use specific figures in that. Like, I want to buy all of the figures because I love them. So, like, I was looking at the Guardians of the Galaxy ones. And because I don't want to buy the Guardians of the Galaxy playset yet, which is £35, I just want to buy Groot, for instance. I can't use Groot in anything.
No, you can use him in the toy box, yeah, but then you can't
even
use
then,
him
in... Those levels aren't that good yet, like I was saying. So it could be done a bit better, but it's
if it was
good.
More open.
Yeah.
But then they do want kids to go, I want
all the things.
I want the Guardians of the Galaxy set, but I also need this. I went into... game in Manchester and Skylanders was packed, but every single thing on Disney Infinity's rack was pretty much bare bones. Like, not because it's like they don't have a lot of stuff. They've got a heck load of figures on that thing. But I asked, like, well, where's all the Disney Infinity figures gone? And they said, well, Frozen happened. And a majority of the figures were Elsa and I don't think there's an Anna one.
I haven't seen Frozen. I don't know.
Don't worry about it. That
annoying little snowman.
So what happened? And they said, well, we got like 100 Elsa figures in whatever, and we put them all out because we knew they were going to sell, and they sold. But I don't know if there's like a Frozen thing or what you can use Elsa in, because it seems like these single ones don't really fit in. They're just there for you to muck about with.
Yeah, like the we brought up the Fantasia Mickey thing last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know really where that would fit.
No, maybe some of them just have full access to...
Yeah, I suppose.
I'm really interested in that game, mostly because I'm a giant child and like toys.
Yeah, just don't expect anything too complex.
No.
Like combat's really simple. And
like, I played Skylanders, and that's pretty much like... That is now getting progressively more complex as it goes along, but maybe for the worse.
That being said, though, like, leveling up and speccing out your characters, it does open up quite a few doors.
Yeah.
Because you start off really basic, and then as you flesh your character out, it does become more and more fun. I'll say that.
But... See, I see it as I've been wanting, like, the perfect Marvel game for so long, and I just look at it and think, I want an old Marvel game.
You'll never
get
the Marvel game you want, ever.
Selling you almost Marvel games you want.
Yeah. I've had the Marvel game I want. Back when I was playing on the original Xbox, if anyone played Ultimate Spider-Man, the cel-shaded open world game, I loved that game so much.
I think the best Marvel game to date is Ultimate Alliance.
I was going to bring that up.
I never played them.
They were good games.
I feel like I missed out. Yeah, they were good games. You know, there was just like a big Marvel story happens, Doctor Doom's done something bad.
Which one, though? One or two?
I think I played one.
I actually preferred two. Because that
I never played two. I never played two because I had a Wii at the time, and I thought this looks terrible. Like, you could pass off one, but then two looked awful. Like, in comparison, I was just like, anyway.
Yeah.
Have you been playing anything else?
Nothing new, really, or relevant. I mean, I started Lollipop Chainsaw. I've been playing Hearthstone like I always do. Things like that. So.
I actually played about. I haven't really been playing games this week. I've just been sorting things out and getting angry over it.
I mean, I was going to get my hands on Borderlands, but didn't really get around to it.
I think I'll pass on that.
Oh, I'm crazy for Borderlands, so I'll definitely get on it.
Yeah, when you get that, we'll probably talk, and I'll probably end up grieving every single grievance I have about that series.
Oh, no.
There's
going to be a fight.
Well, I think O2 meters in games are dumb. I don't think, you know... you've got this fictional world and you've now put a realistic thing on top of it.
Yeah,
well, yeah, sure, Claptrap doesn't need it, but who wants to play as Claptrap? Claptrap is so annoying.
I want to play as Claptrap.
I hate Claptrap.
For the sheer madness.
You can turn into a pirate ship or something
Yeah, but Claptrap has been, like, okay, in Borderlands 1, you can understand why Claptrap got on your nerves, because he just says the same lines over and over again. But then Borderlands 2 becomes like a main plot point. It's like, no, go away!
Claptrap's revolution. It's the whole DLC about him.
I avoided it. I didn't play any of the DLCs.
He's such a good character.
No, he's not a good character. He's a Jar Jar Binks of Borderlands world.
I can see the similarity, actually. Yeah,
but except for some reason, people like him, and I don't get it. It's just, oh, Claptrap's so bad.
But yeah, I'll be getting on that when it comes out. And
I've got a feeling at the Steam sale, I will buy it because
It's a solid game at the very
least.
It's just
Borderlands 2 soured me so much.
Really?
I really like the core concept of Borderlands, which is shoot things, get loot, level up, get another cool gun, stuff like that.
That's still in Borderlands 2.
Yeah, I know it's still there, but then you've got all this stuff piled on top of it where it's just like, yeah, we read it and this is really cool. And it's just like, no, Handsome Jack is bad.
Whoa.
He's really bad.
I love Handsome Jack.
He is so boring as a character. Like, they try to make him out to be this big thing. Like, he's this overarching villain. But how many times have we seen this already? The smarmy nonce at the top of the chain. Like,
you hear a little bit about his backstory and you're going to see more of it in pre-sequel as well.
Yeah,
so maybe
it's Borderlands. It's not about the story. It's about, like,
I know,
you said,
but they
shoot
try,
things,
they, but
loot,
it's like,
get
it,
a cool gun.
Yeah, it's not about the story, but they shovel it into you or try
well, you
to.
You can ignore that.
It's only, like, audio logs anyway.
But you can't ignore it when it's like he's constantly talking into your ear and Claptrap's constantly talking into your ear and it's just like, no, go away! If they had a mode in Borderlands where they said, oh yeah, it's like the only people that really talk to you are the quest givers and like small updates and stuff like that. I would play that straight away.
It's got to give it an atmosphere though.
Play the
yeah,
game
but already had, Borderlands 1 had an atmosphere of like gung ho, like Western, you know,
bandits
and stuff like that. And then they ruined it by trying to make it funny. And it was already funny at the start because it was just, yeah, I got four guns. This one shoots fire and three rockets at the same time. And then the second one, the guns, you know, carried on. It's like that level of comedy carried on underneath.
Yeah.
But then it was piled on top with all this Reddit humor and stuff like that. And it's just like, no, this gun, when I reload it, is also a grenade. That's amazing. I love that. Like, they're completely useless in combat because the grenades just bounce wherever. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it never really goes where you want it to.
But
just play the game on mutual, or even better, play it with
that's
Paul
what
McCartney's
I did.
Destiny song over the top.
Don't even go there. Anyway, so I played about half an hour of God Hand, which is the PS2 classic from Clover Studios, who are now known as Platinum Games for the most part. God Hand, I know why. I can see why people love it.
I was going to say, it's got quite a cult following.
Yeah, I can see why people love it. The combat system is amazing. You press the right trigger and it comes up with a load of things, and you punch things, and the combat works.
Yep.
But camera movement and character movement are on the same stick.
Oh, what?
So when you turn, so it's like proper tank control. So like when you turn, the camera turns with you.
So the right stick does
the right stick dodges.
Oh, okay. Right.
So it's like kind of got the God of War controls.
Right, yeah.
Except they put the cameras in like behind you, and I'm pretty sure there's a lock on somewhere. I'm not sure if there is. I don't know if I'm not pressed all the buttons. I didn't press every button, but I was just punching things. So that game, I don't think, has aged gracefully. I can see why people like it.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's important in that it's kind of like Platinum in its infancy. They probably learned from the things that they did
wrong
in that.
Also, it is horrifically busted in some ways. It is, you know, you turn the camera and the wall disappears and stuff like that. But like if you die, like I get like it's an older game and stuff like that, and when you die there's no checkpoint building and stuff like that. It looks like it's been made on a budget and stuff, and then checkpoint building happens and none of that's in there, so when you die you have to go back to the start of the area. And I don't want to punch the same 15 dudes in the one monster that can kill you in 3 shots if you're not careful over and over again. That's not fun. So yeah, that's what I've played.
Sounds like similar issues to the Alien Isolation had, actually.
Yeah, except except you throw the controller down and you go, it could be so much better if they just remade it, and they never will because I don't know who owns the rights to that. But
yeah, it's kind of half out after Isolation.
Yeah. So, and also I've been playing on my mobile a game from the creator of Final Fantasy, Terra Battle, which is, so you have a bunch of tiles, and each one represents, like, you have like five tiles in your party, and those represent like a different warrior and stuff like that. And you move them about, and you kill monsters, and you level up, and stuff like that. And it has, like, a system, so, like, sword can beat arrow, arrow can beat spear, spear beats sword.
That sounds like Fire Emblem.
Yeah, it feels a lot like Fire Emblem. And, like, you get magic users, and I think they're just, like, mostly for support and stuff like that. So you move them about, and you match them up on the grid, and more things will happen. So if you line up, like, specifically, like, this warrior, and this warrior, then the magic user will heal as the other two users attack.
Okay.
And then there's a power pellet thing appears, and you do that, and everyone gets a special move, and it's usually wasted because it's just, like, actually matching them up is a bit of a hassle. Hmm. It, for the most part, like, it's got a great tutorial. I read it through. I'm just sliding things around and hoping for the best.
Say, it does sound like a mobile game at its very core.
And also, like, yes, so that's another thing that bugs me about it. There's an energy meter. It's free to play.
Oh, no, there's not, like, walls.
There's an energy meter. There's no at the moment, there is no paywalls.
Yeah.
But
time walls?
Time walls are an issue, except it seems to just refill it anyway as soon as you complete a chapter,
okay,
which is weird. Because if you wanted me to pay money, well, you want me to, you know... Yeah. Run it, but I'm never going to pay money to it. So, like, and also to recruit things, it's not story-based or anything like that. You get two at the start, and then you're told, like, hey, go recruit some stuff here. Mm. You get some free whatever. So you recruit people, and you have to pay, like, either the fake money that they give you in-game.
Oh, so,
like,
the in-game currency, yeah, or actual.
Or actual money.
That hard dollar.
No, like, it's not. It doesn't actually come up straight up, like, $10 to recruit this character. Yeah. It's all randomized anyway, so it's all gacha style.
Yeah.
You have to pay money for these currency, and then you spend that. And I don't like that side of it. I like building. I like building stuff. So, you know, I like building the parties. But at the moment, I've got five characters, and I don't see the like unless I keep logging in, and it gives me all the rewards for daily logins. Mm. But, yeah, it also seems hella grindy. Like,
I was going to say, you mentioned that it's by the creator of Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
I was wondering if there was any sort of, like, parallels between the two you could draw.
Like, the art and...
The grindy nature, maybe?
Nature, in a way, but this seems more like someone on the mobile side went, no, we need to do this to keep people playing every day.
But it's still still a better mobile Final Fantasy game than All the Bravest.
Yes. No, it's what you wanted out, but All the Bravest, and also it doesn't have any of the Final Fantasy stuff attached to it.
Yeah.
It's just got that style to it. Is there anything else to talk about? I think we have to wrap up in about...
I was going to say, I know you probably wanted to talk about Call of Duty, actually. But...
Oh, yeah, so we'll just quickly talk about Call of Duty for just a few minutes. So they launched their launch trailer 2 weeks early.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah.
So I know I'm just excited for Call of Duty again because lasers and the future and exoskeletons and flying around. We've come full circle with first-person shooters. We started in the crazy. Well, we started like World War II, you know.
Yeah.
But we fought Hitler in a robot suit. And then, you know, we had Doom. You go through it all, and it's like, hey, wacky, crazy first-person shooters, ultra-violence, this is great. That's how you do it, Hatred. That's how you do it. Go look at the 90s. That's how you do it. If you want to do ultra-violence, you don't just genocide. And then we kind of got to World War II, and people started going, hey, we can do these simulations and whatever. Mm. And then we got Modern Warfare. You know, we ran World War II into the ground, then we ran Modern Warfare into the ground. And now we're doing Advanced Warfare. Like, some things have already started doing, you know, I'm not saying all first-person shooters since Modern Warfare 1 have been boring, dull things, but everything's been trying to chase that money for a while.
It's definitely been a trend.
Yeah. It's a thing that people will say on the internet forever, and we won't go there because we'll just sound like everyone else in a forum. But Advanced Warfare looks genuinely exciting. I want to jump off a building in an exoskeleton, in a suit, and then dash to the side and shoot my laser shotgun into someone's face.
Yeah.
Also, Kevin Spacey.
No, that's how you should implement a celebrity into the game, not like Peter Dinklage.
Or, but it's like, are you noticing?
The floating background voice. But like, that's all he is.
I think, like, even though like Kiefer Sutherland is part of Metal Gear Solid 5 and he's voicing Snake,
yeah,
we haven't really heard a lot from him, and I think that might be just to recording clashes, whatever he's doing in Hollywood and whatever. But like, recent trailers are coming out, and there's more voice acting in it, and you know, it's not finished, so he can implement it and stuff. But are you noticing like a lot of celebrities now, like actors? Like, oh, now coming forward, like, oh no,
take games a bit more seriously.
LittleBigPlanet has Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie, yeah.
Is voicing the villain.
Which is great.
Stephen Fry was doing it.
Well, if you want to get me on probably my most anticipated game of all time, then we can start talking about Tywin Lannister himself. We've got Charles Dance in The Witcher 3.
Is he? I didn't know about that.
Yes, he's playing the Emperor of Nilfgaard.
That's pretty cool.
Fair enough.
But if you listen to the trailer... if you've seen the most recent trailer, you might not have noticed it.
I'm just taking bets now on whether a QuickTime event will make us kill Kevin Spacey in some gruesome because that's how you've got to end that game. You have to kill virtual Kevin Spacey. He has to.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey has to die.
Yeah, he has to die. But no, it looks genuinely cool, and I'm just excited, like, that for some reason I'm excited that, you know, even though we've got our own plethora of voice actors like Troy Baker and Nolan North and Jessica, you know, all that lot, you know, we've got our own celebrities within gaming and stuff like that. But I'm just excited to see, like, actual, you know, like, not, it sounds bad to say actual celebrities, but, like, you know, actors, you know, high-class actors go, no, you know, you can mocap my face and put me into a video game.
People well-known in the public eye are coming forward now.
Yeah, it's... And that's really exciting that, you know, hey, games are growing up in a way that it's not, we got Peter Dinklage. It's like, that's why Destiny's implementation, Peter Dinklage, kind of feels lackluster. Yeah. It's because he's just...
He's just kind of famous.
I think probably one of the, I'd say, earliest games to do it was probably the Fable series.
Yeah, with John Cleese.
Zoe Wanamaker, and then they got...
John Cleese,
Stephen Fry.
Yeah. So, you know, like, they've been doing voice acting. But, it's, you know, it's not just voice acting now. It's like, in Metal Gear Solid 5, they've mocapped Kiefer Sutherland's face to go in time with Snake's voice. You know, they're not just miming in with...
Flap the lips.
You know, for some reason, I'm excited about Call of Duty. Maybe it's just because I want something... Because, like, I've had my big dumb shooter this year, which was Wolfenstein. Yeah. But then I thought I had my big dumb shooter, which was Wolfenstein, but it's not. It's like, genuinely clever in some ways.
Yeah.
But, you know, Call of Duty is a big dumb shooter. And
I've not given a Call of Duty game really a look in since Black Ops, because it's what everyone says, it's more of the same over and over again. And if they can do something different, then maybe...
Yeah,
I'll give it a look in and see what it does.
I don't come to Call of Duty to think. I come to Call of Duty to have explosions in my... it's like the same reason why I go to see Fast and Furious. So, we have to start wrapping up. A little bit shorter this week.
Already?
I know. We will probably be figuring out other ways to record so we don't have to adhere to these rules and whatever. Yeah. But we do have to adhere to editor rules. because... anyway, so if you want to find me, I'm at thelink.co.uk and I'm in the culture section. If you want to write for culture or, you know, come talk about video games with me, you can find me on Twitter at LimeWizard.
Yeah, I was going to say,
message me on Facebook somehow. You have to be in University of Lincoln, by the way, not just any randomer. You can find Ollie. You're not on just Twitter, are you?
I don't use Twitter.
Alright, so Ollie is off the grid.
Probably find me on Facebook if you're in the group.
Yeah, Ollie's off the grid with his tinfoil walls and tinfoil hat. And Jacob, you are on Twitter as
Captain Liger.
Captain Liger, yes. You don't use it too often, not as often as I do.
No, it's mainly just to, like, keep track of other people, but, you know.
Yeah. Maybe one day I'll join you all in the future.
I wouldn't say no to a few extra points.
Yeah, we're going to start. So, like I said last week, we're still rolling along. We're still putting things together. So, you'll start to see more video game stuff from us very, very soon.
And maybe
soon.
1 week I'll finally get to fit in my large Witcher 3 rant.
Yes.
Which is incoming.
We will probably. You know what? If you want, after that, our video goes up, maybe we will probably just sit through that and talk about Witcher 3 with that going on in the background.
That.
We
can absolutely
do that. Happy days.
So anyway, thanks for listening, and bye!